We'll call the Planning Commission to order for February 17th. I guess we'll have a call to order on you to establish a quorum. We'll start with you, Don.
Don Griner, present.
Douglas Ward.
Norm McLean.
Gloria Fleming and Rolando Alonso have called in. He has an emergency. Okay, Doug, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do we have any added agenda items?
I would add one just to discuss a potential text amendment to the zoning ordinance related to storage containers. And just it's just a discussion item.
Anybody else? Okay. Audrey, do you have any public comments?
No.
Okay. Next is the approval of the meeting minutes. I have one thing on there. Where it was stating that I was going to be chair, it said that I had a one-year term. And that's what you told me that it expired in December. But at the city council meeting, they said 4 years.
We caught that. That was an error at the council meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're going to correct it at the next council meeting.
Okay, so.
So what happened at the Planning Commission meeting is correct.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, has everybody had a chance to read the minutes? Do I have any discussion?
I don't think I made the motion to and seconded by Gloria to approve the addendum to the natural fire mitigation.
What page are you on?
On page 8 of 9, the top one, because there's two of them right there that shows that I made the all three of them. In fact, I don't think I made that many motions. Maybe I did, so I won't argue it, but just call it to your attention.
I think you did, Don. I got a memory like a steel clamp, and I think you.
Well, you got something.
Well, and since there was no controversy and everybody voted aye on it, I don't think it's something that we need to be concerned about.
Now I voted.
So, do I have a...
I would so move.
Second.
Okay. All right.
We have to vote.
Yes, we do. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now we're moving on to the legislative rezone to achieve comprehensive plan zoning. Now this is my understanding, this is going to be a workshop tonight. We're not actually voting on anything.
That's correct.
It's just to help us all understand what we're talking about.
The process.
Yeah, set the stage, talk about the process, to hear any initial feedback you might have, but just really open discussion is really what I'm looking for.
Okay. You want to
jump into it? Okay.
Yep.
So you should have two maps in front of you. The first one that I want to call attention to is the one that has a lot of green on the eastern side. It says City of Lapine parcels to be rezoned. I think, as you're aware from our discussions over the last 6 months or so, the city has been operating on a two-map system. So you have an existing zoning map, and then you have the comprehensive plan map. The existing zoning is what we use if somebody comes to the city with an application for right now. It's the zoning that we legally have to go off of to enforce the city codes. The comprehensive plan map is the map that was established as part of your larger process several years ago to determine what you want the future of Lapine to look like as far as comprehensive planning and land uses. The transportation system plan was based on the comprehensive plan map. And that was what was used for the state approvals at the state level as well for your UGB and comprehensive plan. The reason you have two maps right now is because at the time the comprehensive plan was adopted, the TSP had not been adopted, hadn't been completed, so you couldn't, as a city, adopt the comprehensive plan zoning because of state laws for needing to review the traffic impacts of those future land uses. But now that the TSP is in place, it's a good time now to look at getting to a one map system and adopting a comprehensive plan zoning. So what I wanted to do tonight is to point out to you which parcels are different, because a lot of the parcels within the city are the same between two maps, but then there's these that are highlighted tonight that are different between the two maps. So I wanted to step through the different regions, talk about the zone change, why the change, any things that we might want to think about in that change, and just have open feedback on what you see in here. So the first one I pointed out, the city of Lapine parcels 3 rezoned, that shows the existing zoning as it is today. A number of those are just holding zones that are left over from the county zoning. So for example, exclusive farm use, there's several of them still in that exclusive farm use category, that the city doesn't have a zone for that. It's just been retained as the county holding zone until we get a zone change. So what I typed up as well was just a very brief memo on the city letterhead that has a table on it. And I thought we could just start going through some of the examples of what the changes would be. For the most part, most of the changes are going to be housekeeping changes. You'll see that there's some that are in a county commercial zone. We want to update that to get that to city commercial code so we can enforce the commercial zone ordinance for the city. A few other things, are smaller, and there's a couple more that we should spend a little more time on. And we can jump right into the main one, I think, that's going to have the most discussion and that we should discuss the most, and that's the first one in the table. There are a number of them on the existing zoning that are right now RR10, the county rural residential 10-acre minimum lot size. They aren't 10 acres, but that's the zoning that they fell into. And those on the existing map are shaded this tan color, so it's the Kegel neighborhood in particular. And the comprehensive plan for the city has that going to residential. So it doesn't change the use of the parcel. The one thing that we need to discuss as a body over the next month or two is how to address the issue of the ability to partition within that neighborhood. Right now in an RR10 neighborhood in the county, you can't subdivide anything unless it's greater than 10 acres. Well, and even more than that, if you subdivide, the partitioned lots have to be a minimum of 10 acres. So as a result, on these 1 and 2 acre lots that are in that county RR10 zone, right now they can't partition because they can't have 10 acres.
Are they out of compliance?
No, they're not out of compliance. They just aren't allowed to partition. No. They're frozen as far as what they can do for partitions. Now, if we move it to the city's zoning of residential, the residential code allows quite a bit of flexibility on lot sizing with pretty small minimum lot sizes. So it opens that opportunity for people in that neighborhood to subdivide. Some residents may think it's good. Some residents may not. Given the infrastructure challenges that are in that area right now, gravel roadways and maybe some sewer and water infrastructure issues, it may be prudent for us to discuss limiting partitions to only a certain size lot. Maybe the much larger lots the city would allow to be partitioned and the smaller ones not. It's just an idea. Right now we don't have anything formulated. We just wanted to discuss that and discuss that with those residents as well to see what do they really want. It could be accomplished in some sort of an overlay zone that has a criteria that no partitions will be considered on a lot under a certain size until these infrastructure facilities are in place.
What about a grandmother house or something like that?
The in-law suites.
Yeah. Does that fall in? That's different than a partition.
Yes and no. If they can build it within the code guidelines right now for size, right now an accessory structure can be 30% the size of the main house. there are options to still build those. If they want to build a full-size house, generally they would need to partition it, yes. Yeah, so that's a discussion we need to have. I don't expect concrete answers from anybody right now. I just want to present this and lay this out so it can simmer with you for a little
bit. What's your definition between a small size lot and a large size lot?
That's a good question. And you know, it depends on the city you're in. So for this setting, I don't have one right now. I haven't researched that because I just want to start that discussion. But you know, we could put it at a 2 acre minimum lot size. We could put it at a 1 acre minimum lot size.
Because you know, there's a number of people in Kegel, way up in the northeast corner,
mm-hmm.
that have 1 acre lots.
Mm-hmm.
Kegel is almost exclusively 1 acre lots. There's a couple of bigger ones,
right?
And there's a couple of smaller ones. They want to subdivide,
mm-hmm.
and they're simply waiting for the time to do it so that the zones are done. And then mm-hmm. at the end of Pine Drive, where uh-huh. the church is, Pine Drive and Burgess, they own that property that's in that yellow zone, which says residential multifamily,
mm-hmm.
and they want to put homes in there too,
mm-hmm.
but they're waiting for the sewer.
Right.
Because they don't want to have the expense of putting in a septic system and then turn around and hook up the sewer.
Right.
So I would say that 1 acre would be an appropriate size.
What are the most of these lots?
Most of them are around 1.2.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 1.2.
99% of them are 1 acre. So mine's an acre and a quarter.
But
the guy next to me is an acre and a third. Mm-hmm. But basically, they're all 1 acre.
I think it'd create too much confusion to divide the 1 acres for the 1.2s. That seems to be the majority of the size of lots established, and people bought at that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But some of the larger ones, you know, sure.
You see, a lot of those,
if the roads are in and the
a lot of those homes are situated so you couldn't add.
Right.
You couldn't, on my place,
on a 1 and 1.2.
The way my house sits, you couldn't add anything but a chicken.
That's usually pretty much the way
I might do that too.
Well, and there are rules about how far away from the road and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. My concern on that, I see you don't have anything in the Newbury, you know, it's blank.
Mm-hmm.
When we talked about the comp plan, it was basically that there was going to be some multi-family housing on the north side near the Roslyn School. And that's that was quite a bit of discussion about that. There also was talk of a migratory trail.
I believe that's
green
already
trail.
Zone neighborhood.
Yeah, see this up here and that there. Mm-hmm. That was
so... So that section is
migratory,
and it's zoned as it's currently on the existing plan and the comp plan, already zoned with that open space designation.
Yeah, those trails.
So that's why they're not reflected on these maps.
Okay.
So the only thing we're addressing right now will be the ones that will be different
changes.
That we need to change to get to the comp plan.
Those
but
trails
if that comp
are all
plan
tied
is already
together
been achieved,
with Chris
we don't have
Craig.
To address
yeah.
it.
Right. But now you have this does impact because you have multifamily zoning here, and then now you're going to have it here too. So that, I don't know. That's going to make Kegel, if it were to be totally developed with no open areas.
And you're talking about the concern you have is this large one right here.
Well, it's the whole thing. If that was, you know, that was one of the things that was such a big issue, that's why we became a city, was because of the impact of all of these houses going in.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was one of the things that I know Doug was really upset about in the beginning.
What was I upset about?
About the dividing up, you know, the Kegel and turning it into where the Newbury.
Oh, I was not in favor of that at all.
No, I know.
No.
You know.
But there has to be a guideline somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
That says if you have 5 acres, you can
right.
put another house on it. If you have one,
right.
I would say that if we're going to do that, allow that, then one would be the minimum, the absolute minimum.
Yeah.
If you were going to put a second house on the back side of it or whatever. Anything smaller than that, I don't agree with it at all.
I know a lot of them started out as 20-acre lots, and then they went, you know, to 5, 10, and then 5, then 2.5, and then the smallest is 1.25 that I'm aware of.
Well, you know,
except another, you know.
The four lots on the top northwest side corner, those are all 10. Those are all 20-acre lots now.
Yeah.
That whole thing was one lot when I moved here. One lot, and they wanted to sell it to me for $169,000, and I said, "Oh, that's a waste of money." I'd be on the planning commission in the Bahamas right now trying to listen to somebody.
So, all these little ones, are these all pretty much 1 acre, one and a quarter?
They're around 1.15, 1.2, yeah.
So you really, if you look at it, there's not, if you stuck with that, there's not a whole lot of them that could be divided except the ones up there.
That's correct, yeah. Until you got to a point, if you ever did, as a city, that you decided the infrastructure would accommodate it and you felt like it was something you wanted to do, but it wouldn't ever have to be done that way, no. You could have your overlay zone set up for that neighborhood.
Can I ask you a question? You see on this, you go up just a little past Antler and Pine, and you've got lines subdividing some of those lots in there.
I don't care.
What does that indicate? Does that indicate those little tiny ones are actually lots?
That's what it indicates, yeah. And I don't know the history of those, but that's what the county has on file, that at some point they were that way.
Because one of them down there doesn't look like it's enough to build an outhouse on.
There are a couple, yeah, there's a small one there.
Well, and the other question I have on all that too, there was a big old boohoo a few years ago about property lines. Now, are these property lines the real ones?
The Cagle subdivision is correct.
It is correct.
Property lines.
Okay.
What is not correct is
along Huntington.
I don't know about here, right? Right in here, Burgess and Huntington.
Yeah.
The lots south of that, every one of them's off.
Yeah. Okay.
And the lots to the east, every one of them are off.
You're
every
right.
Every single one of them.
Okay.
Because my brother-in-law owns one of those pieces of property, and he lost 20 feet.
Yeah. Well, I know they had them redone not too long ago.
Individually. Yes, there was one resident that wouldn't allow the process and stop the whole thing.
Well, I know my daughter lived on the west side and they wanted to put up a fence.
Yeah.
And they had to have it, and the people next door lost.
Yes.
Some space. They weren't very happy.
One of those, but Cagle is correct. These little small lines in Cagle, I don't think those are anywhere near accurate. I don't think they're even there anymore. Because if you drive through there and look, it's not the way it is. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, I know we can certainly research as we need to by individual parcel or the property owner can.
Yeah, because there are some of these that are really, I mean, for sure those couldn't be.
Well, see, they've got three of them on my street. Because I live on Pine Drive all the way to the end, almost to the end. And they're not.
Yours are more uniform.
They're not, mm-hmm. Yeah, they have houses on them, they're just not there.
Yeah, okay.
I certainly think of, you know, like a 1.1, 1.2 acre would be small enough.
How about 1.25?
1.25, that'd be fine.
Because then that would take your 2.5, your 5, you know, and 10.
I would say 1 would be the minimum.
I think 1 would be the minimum.
It's an even number, and the ones that are 1.25 aren't
going to. If you're over 1, then you qualify anyway.
Yeah. Well, we can discuss that more as we go. The schedule that I've sketched out right now for this would be to have a public workshop in March middle of March probably, and just an open house to start discussing it, and then in April bring it to Planning Commission for decisions. So we'll want to be discussing this pretty actively over the next month.
So basically you're yeah. saying anything smaller, I mean an acre less could not be divided.
That's my opinion, okay. Yes.
Or the resulting division could be less than an acre.
Exactly. That's the way to phrase it. Right. Say it one time.
The resulting division can't be less than an acre.
Okay.
Yeah. So a 1.5 acre lot couldn't subdivide.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a 2 acre lot could split.
Am I correct in assuming that this, which is parcels to be rezoned, you want to make it look like this?
That's correct.
Okay, now, yes. Question.
And this, I want to reiterate, is what was studied and adopted by the city.
Well, that's not all. That's not all 100% correct.
And that's what we're here to vet out. So let me hear it.
On the corner of Burgess and Huntington, you have the power station. Right across the street, there's that big parcel in yellow, which is residential multifamily.
That giant, yeah, and that's the one I have a big question.
The gentleman that owns that, friend of mine, he also owns, on the other, his home is down there on the other side of the street. He bought that property because years ago when we did all the codes and everything, that was zoned for residential commercial.
Yeah, mixed use.
Now it just says residential. He bought that property because he was going to develop it. And now, according to this map here, he can't.
Now, are you talking about, you're talking about this parcel?
That big piece of yellow right here, yes.
Because the idea was that could be mom and pop stores, a little,
yes.
You know.
Like a strip mall, a gas station, you know.
Yeah. We can try and dig into the history of that in some of the city records to see where that may have occurred. There's going to be a few parcels like that, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring this to you, because you guys have the background information and the friends and neighbors that own some of these. So there might be a few of these that we can say, why are the records showing that? Or there's some discrepancies between city record and county records. So those are the sorts of things that we need to start researching. So yeah, if you see anything like that,
well, that's only fair.
Absolutely.
If I bought a piece of property and when I bought it, they said I could build a strip mall, and then they come back later when I want to build it and say, oh, you can't. That's not right.
Yeah, we'll have to look and see what was actually adopted. This is what the county has in their records for being adopted, but we can search in the city records.
Now, if you notice right below the yellow there, though, it says traditional commercial.
Are you talking straddling the
Burgess and Huntington, right there in that?
And that is mixed-use commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so that could include residential, it could include commercial.
And that's what the guy bought the property for, mixed-use commercial.
Yes.
So that is, but it's surrounded by multi-family houses.
Why is that commercial right in the middle of residential?
That is envisioned as a kind of mixed-use neighborhood, so it could be stores to walk to from your home. Smaller
there's no,
scale.
There's no room to build any stores or anything there.
Oh, there's a giant commercial at that little building on the left.
Yeah, the cup corner and the strip mall
right.
There.
Well, some home
businesses.
That thing there, John Thomas ought to burn that thing down and start all over again.
But that's commercial. You know, it's been commercial for.
Yeah, but we're talking on the across the street from.
That's
two pieces of property that people live there right now. They have
that, but he's got that equipment business there.
Well, that's a touchy subject.
Yeah,
but that is
what.
That's probably why it's
known
that way.
That intersection we talked about, that whole intersection being commercial, that the Kegel people could run down to the store and stuff without having to come all the way into town. So that was discussed, and you know that's, and then the multi-family housing was next to it, and then on the other side of Burgess. So.
And I'll make a note to research that as to why it's not reflecting now. If we can come back to this neighborhood as well, because this is the one we'll spend the most time on, but we could step through the other ones because they'll probably be quicker, and then come back to this as we need to. The next one on the list is looking at the current EFU zones, which if you look on your existing map are the to the west of City Hall here, the rodeo properties and a few other privately held ones. It's currently EFU. And then up on the north end, the parcels we were just talking about are currently EFU in that county holding zone, as well as one down here in the very bottom southwest corner. And what the comp plan zones, those, actually, I take that back. That one at the bottom is not rezoning to residential. You know, the main one would just be this rodeo section, rezoning to the comp plan to residential, just pure residential. Now, the residential zone has a lot of different uses. It doesn't have to be just homes, but that's the way it's depicted in the commercial, in the comp plan.
But that was given to us for the rodeo. That was transferred from the county specifically for that kind of use.
And there is within residential use, within the residential code of the city.
But that's outside the city limits. That property you're talking about. That's not in the city limits. Where they have the rodeo right now, Dan Barker used to own that. He sold it to somebody. And they're renting that to the rodeo group. But the property you're talking about is out 6th Street out of the city limits.
Right.
But this
rodeo
is
grounds were.
That's that 450 acres that was given to us that we gave to them.
It's beyond this area you're talking
yes.
about.
But regardless, the rodeo properties that would be rezoned to residential, the code right now allows for large acreage commercial recreation.
Okay.
So we can still accommodate the rodeo needs.
Oh,
and
sure.
That actually will, we're going to be looking at a text amendment to make that more defined and clear.
Well, does that mean then that we have to annex rodeo grounds into the city in order to change all the rules and regulations?
It would have to be annexed because they have to run sewer and water out there.
That's right.
I think we're just discussing
right. We're just discussing the existing ones
where
just west here
right
within
now.
City limits.
Yeah.
We're not talking about any annexation or large acreage outside. We're just accommodating the use that occurs there right now.
Okay.
In that Tomes Edition part of town.
Now this piece of property you're talking about way down here in the corner.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, that's residential multi-family.
Mm-hmm, and the comp plan.
Okay, that's owned by the Gordy family.
Okay.
And they tried to go in there and put homes in there 6-7 years ago, and the county said, no, that's a wetland. You can't build in there.
Yeah, that's water.
And it very well may be. We can pull up the floodplain mapping to see. You know, and a lot of these, they might be zoned a certain zone for the entire lot because it's easier to zone the entire lot than part of it. But it doesn't mean that they can develop at all because the wetlands are going to trump the development rights on it. So maybe there is a roadway frontage portion of it that maybe could be developed as multifamily. We'd have to look at that when we got that proposal. So this doesn't necessarily mean they could be developed as they're zoned if there are other cars that trump it, but it gives the opportunity to at least research that.
You see, that runs all the way down to Highway 31, and he runs cattle in there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus he's got a very big home right in the middle of it.
Okay.
Well, he's not around anymore. She.
Yeah, and I should comment that a notice would be sent out to every single one of these property owners with both of these maps, so that if there is one that it just doesn't make any sense or they're really opposed to it, they come comment to the city and come to your hearings so that we can learn about those things as well. Okay, any other EFU parcels? The ones at the top that we talked about already, EFU to the multifamily, I'll research those to figure out what the history was on that multifamily zoning to see if that is truly the case in the comp plan, make sure that map is correct. The next one on the list is an existing forest zone, which right now on the existing map is shown in the light green, quite a bit of it. And the rezone is to public facilities. So you can see most of those are city-owned, county-owned, or federally-owned parcels. I'd have to look and see if there's any that are privately held. But in general, it's I don't see the controversial change
What could,
in, fact, the zone, in fact, the zoning code in, for Lapine includes forest and public facilities with the same uses.
So yeah, have, that's okay. You
know, similar criteria. It just fits the needs of the city better. And, you know, it gives...
it is changing the standard of REIT in 97. Did they change from forest to mixed use?
Okay, and back up to the Burgess and Huntington intersection, there are some RR10, again, parcels south of Burgess that would be changing over to mostly the residential, but there's a few of them that would change over to the mixed-use commercial that we were just talking about, that Doug, you were asking about.
Yeah, I thought we had done that before.
And that's a... Can you say a little bit more about mixed-use commercial? I mean, that's a pretty flexible zone that allows...
It's a very flexible zone.
...residential and
yes.
also allows, if they wanted to do a combination of those with
right.
commercial.
Right. It's very, very flexible. As a, you know, the mix, the commercial residential mixed-use has a minimum percentage of square footage that has to be residential. Commercial mixed-use does not. So it could be all residential, it could be all commercial, but it just allows some more flexibility at that intersection to have maybe some, like you said, corner shop type uses.
Mm. Well, there are some there now.
There are, yes. You and know. We've had a few, we did have an inquiry about 4 to 6 months ago of somebody that wanted to have a home business, and they were hoping to have some commercial abilities there. So it sounds like there is interest.
But the child care and, you know, and there mm-hmm. are some other shops along that way. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, the second one from the bottom in the table is just a house cleaning issue. I mentioned that in the existing zoning, the bright orange, or I guess it's dark orange, is currently zoned as county holding zone of commercial, and we just want to switch it over to city commercial, so it's really not a change in the use. It just cleans up the maps and the wording on that.
Well, there that wasn't that involved with the sewer expansion and stuff too, or was it?
I don't know. I'm not aware of that related to the
at
commercial
the, at the oh. south end of town here. Or
no,
or?
Up in here.
Oh, you're talking about up in there.
Isn't that part of the sewer expansion that we were given? We
yeah,
were given
so
the land for that.
So that would be rezoned to public facilities in the comp plan. And in our master plan updates that we just got for wastewater system, it does show potential larger irrigation pivots out in that area. So yeah, you're correct.
And there was also talk about doing a pump house or something out further somewhere.
Maybe the full, whatever
for
we need,
water.
Whatever
yeah,
we need
whatever
for the
need,
sewer.
Yeah.
Okay.
There could be a pump, but.
No, I was thinking about water coming in. I don't know.
No, we won't be putting wells for drinking water out there.
Okay. We're in a different part of it. No.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The final category in the table is in this upper northeast corner. And actually, I'm going to look to you guys for a little bit of insight on this. The existing mapping right now shows it as rural residential. With this one pocket of industrial corner. The county's records for the comprehensive plan show that entire region going to industrial, which I think makes sense. The curved line is the state-owned gas pipeline. Makes sense that should be industrial. And then the parcels behind it going to industrial. Some of the maps that we have in-house show it as commercial. So that's a discrepancy that we're going to research to figure out. From a planning perspective, I think industrial makes sense. But didn't know if anybody had any history on that. If you do, let me know. Otherwise, we'll search the records and notes to figure out what the case was.
The only thing is it making it, just again, it's that dumb placeholder, public facilities or something, so that we don't use up our acreage mm-hmm. for industrial mm-hmm. in a place that no one's ever going to build.
Yeah,
because there really isn't anything, you know, with, you can't build on the pipe. It's probably got a 50 or
right.
100 foot easement. You know, when you start looking at it, gravel road off a forest road out there, I just, you know, industry, doesn't have the infrastructure.
Doesn't, yeah.
So are you better off put public facilities so that we don't, because when they count up your acres, when you say, hey, we need more industrial land, they'll say, oh, well, I mean, it's all a total.
Right.
Well, here's another 25 acres. You say, well, but it's really not buildable.
Really, yeah.
Well,
could it be like a log yard or something like that?
Well,
behind it, or, you know,
there's not a lot of access. They'd have to build some access.
Yeah. How do they get there?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I hate to take a zone, because you could always change it. I mean, I just.
Yeah.
But do you know if that's federal or is those private?
I have it written down on my map here, actually. Well, the smaller square is Vic Russell, and then the littlest one on the bottom is Ken Doherty. The upper, larger one, I'm not sure.
I could see around where the road is, maybe those are industrial, but that big long strip.
But, behind the gas line.
Yeah, I don't know how many acres that is.
Right now it's zoned RR10. You could elect to leave it as it is. That's what I would recommend doing instead of changing the comp plan.
Hate to zone it something that you know you're never going to do, or not never, but in the foreseeable decade, nothing's going to happen back there. The cost to develop for water mains and fire hydrants could be impossible for no real reason.
Yeah.
I mean, Wickiup's not where we're going to start growing industry. It's a residential, commercial, you know.
Mm-hmm. So that steps through the most of the changes. There might be a few little tweaks here and there that aren't on this generalized list, but that's the majority of them. I think it is all of them, but those are the things we're going to start researching over the next month here. We'd love to hear your feedback. You know, whether it's now or over the next month, dropping emails. Any thoughts as you ponder these as you go? I think it's just better information for us to have to make sure this is formulated correctly for everybody. And the big thing, I think, too, is going to be our public outreach and to make sure that, you know, most of these, I think, hopefully, you would agree that most of these aren't scary changes. Most of them are pretty straightforward. And so I'd hope that we can communicate that to the public, that we're not coming in here and taking away, you know, if you have residential, you know, commercial rights, we're not going to take those away and turn them into only residential. We're not looking to do that in any way. Just trying to get streamlined for the city.
The only feedback that I got on the stuff that we've done so far was there on Finley Butte, where there were people that it was residential and they aren't happy about the commercial along the, you know, Finley Butte. But that's the only thing.
If I'm not mistaken, you're going to change, your plan was to change this map to this one.
That's correct. Right? Yes.
So we're taking out all this open space here.
Well,
is there a reason for that?
I don't know what the history was on that for the comp plan discussion. I don't know if Gloria, you remember that. You know, it's still keeping it in that public facilities zone. So it's not, you know, it's not like it's changing it to commercial where it's going to develop all of a sudden.
If I remember right, one of the plans that was suggested for that area is to have a Koski and a roadside park area for people traveling through to be able to pull over and stop and rest and on their way through town. In other words, just a place to rest for people traveling. Now, do we really want to get rid of that or not?
Now that was in this within this square?
Yes, that blue
square. Okay, so it would truly be an open space park with maybe just picnic benches. It wouldn't be a rest stop with the concessions and the vendors. Is that what you're? I guess.
Well, I remember the talking when we were talking about it that we thought it would be good to have a space within the city here someplace where, like I say, you'd have a Koski that would set up, showing all the different things you can do in the area, and a place for somebody that's traveling to pull through, take a look at what's available in the area and so forth, and a rest stop. Basically, that's what we talked about. Now, is that something that we want to include, or do we want to just wipe it away?
Well, originally when they planned Crescent Creek, this was supposed to be a rest area connected by walking and bicycle trails through Crescent Creek to the downtown area. That was the original plan. Of course, it didn't go anywhere. But I would say, just leave it alone. Leave it the way it is.
I think so, too.
Leave it as open space instead of public facilities?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, could you still do that with public facilities? Could you still have a rest stop
or no, city
with that?
Is that? I thought it was city.
Probably city. Well, first of all, it's in the middle of the bypass now, because that's where the Cloverleaf is going to be. Because when you come down by Gordy's, and you're going to come out somewhere right in here is where all that's happening. Because this is, so I don't know exactly, but I think it's pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at that map back there, it's definitely going to be right through it.
So you're going to have a you know, you're out here.
In other words.
Yeah, I mean, so, and they're not going to let you, you know, who knows what that would. I can tell you the city of Lapine, to run a rest area is, yeah, you spent $100,000 a year running a rest area.
Well, it's mainly to have a place where an RV could pull up. Right now, there's no place.
When I say rest area, you still got to have bathrooms.
Yeah, but there's no place for an RV to pull off safely.
You're right.
Period.
But if you pull people off to stop, they bring garbage and bathrooms. Because without that, you can't have them stopping. Because that's what they would do there.
That's true.
So to run a rest area, that's why ODOT, you only have them every 100 miles or 700 miles. They are super expensive. You'll spend $1 million building it with the paving and the bathrooms and then maintain. I don't know of a city that runs a rest stop. So I think it was
hoped that it might be in conjunction with ODOT.
I don't think we meant it as a rest stop there. It was more or less just a place to pull over and look, I guess.
If you can get an RV to stop, they'll shop. That was the thinking.
Well, but the problem with that is you're in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Yeah.
And you don't stop a minute later because you're a mile either direction. So if I've stopped, let the dog out to go to the bathroom, once they're all loaded back up, I'm moving.
Yeah.
And
well,
that's
you're
so
30 miles from Bend, and if you're gonna get in there, you're gonna get in there at traffic time. You know. I mean, I'm just. These are all things that we talked about.
Oh, I remember it.
You know.
Yeah. So. We would like one, actually where I would like one, if we were to do it, is where the ODOT yard is now. We're working on that ownership change. Because there, I'm in town, McDonald's is across the street, Taco Bell's across the street, and then people will walk down the sidewalk, and you made my stop in Lapine to look at Lapine, and you may spend money. You can't stop a mile out of town and expect them to spend money in your town.
Right.
And so that was
my thing.
So I was thinking of when we get that ODOT property, and then you get on the corner, you could have some for-profit businesses and mix it all up. But
what's the time frame for that?
Well, we just talked about the other night. They were working with ODOT on it. It's several years, but it has a quicker chance of happening than probably a thing out in the middle of nowhere at the old Cloverleaf.
No, basically that was a
there's no sewer and water out there.
Yeah.
But that ODOT property, too, is a prime commercial spot, which could bring a lot of taxes into the city.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's 10 acres. So we're not talking, again, this hasn't been thought through, that's more of you want people to stop in your town, not out of it, because they don't stop twice.
Well, and I do have a concern, because we have long stretches where there is no place for an RV to pull off, period. You know, and I that really bothers me. I mean, it's, you know, what do they do? Stop in the middle of the road? I mean, you know, I mean, I'm talking about all kinds of different problems that can come up. And
trucks.
Yeah, trucks are another one. It's just a matter of being able to get off the road, you know. So, anyway, I think that's something we need to seriously think about how we would be able to do that, you know.
Well, I can tell you the city of Lapine isn't going to have money to go out and do anything.
Well, look at the trucks that stop right now and get out up by the traffic lights so they can go into McDonald's and some of those other places right there and the traffic hazards that they cause.
Right. Because they're coming for the services.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So other than, Rick, we talked a little bit about the Cable neighborhood and talked about maybe having an overlay related to partitions.
Sure.
And the group as a whole feels like 1 acre lot size minimum is reasonable, but we need to continue discussing it.
And hear from the people next week.
Well, the other concern I have is on this new map with this residential.
Uh-huh.
That, I do not believe, and you need to check and make sure, a lot of that is not buildable.
That's absolutely correct. A lot of it is floodplains. Mm-hmm.
So how can you zone it residential when you know you can't build on it?
You know, I don't know what the reasoning was, that other than it can't really stay as EFU because it's not a city zone. Residential gives some options to the ones that can be built on. It can be structured as a residential. And then the ones that have the wetlands on them, they're just not buildable. So like I said before, just because we're rezoning it to something, it doesn't give that property owner right to trump other federal requirements for, say, you know.
Well, I'm thinking about advertising and that sort of thing, you know, selling the lots that are supposedly, you know, they're residential lots,
right,
but you can't build on them.
No, you can't build on them. And I would absolutely hope that somebody buying those would do their due diligence to know that that's a floodplain.
There's been a lot of questions about this building right here and how they got permission to build on resident or wetlands, which is what this is all supposed to be out here.
It must have met the laws,
but that was done a long time ago, I understand.
And it is higher than everything around it, so, you know,
that
they might have gotten it. Well, you know.
Look at the
they're not supposed to bring in dirt either, and maybe they did, you know, who knows, but, you know.
Number of engineers we had to have just to approve their frontage right in front of here.
Yeah, well, some things were made compliant.
Yeah.
It has happened.
Well, Gloria, good point. Land has to be zoned something.
Yeah.
And so whether or not you can build on every piece that's zoned, otherwise you'd run around with a checkerboard.
Right.
And we then are making the decision, you can or can't build on it. We're not set up for that because we're not in the wetland business. We're not the Division of State Land. So I think what they're saying is this area is residential. Does that mean that some or part of those lots can or cannot be built on? Of course. But we can't go and say, oh, that third lot in needs to become what he is owning.
Right.
Black. Nothing.
Well, why isn't it just zoned waterlands to begin with?
Well, because the owner would consider that a takings, number one. They would say, wait a second. You just zoned my land.
One of the lots.
Mm-hmm.
In other words,
Dan Barco owns some of those
right,
lots.
Right, but they're not going to let you zone it to
right,
where I can't do something. We're saying it can be residential.
Right.
If the law lets you build,
right,
we're okay with it.
If you build a stick house up above.
But whatever it is. So I don't.
Stilts.
The reality is we have to pick a zone.
Okay.
And,
all right,
you know, and maybe 20 years down the road, part of the wetland is going to dry up. Wetlands do change. Probably not this one.
Yeah.
But they do. So we have to give some flexibility.
I had a guy call me about these down along here on kind of on the edge and the other day. And I told him, I said, you better check it all out. And he's got the old platted subdivision
right,
from 18-something. And I'm like, well.
So I bought one of these, say, right in the center, and I decide I want to build on it, the first thing I have to do is start getting permits, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there on, if I find out that the state says, hey, this is a wetland, you can't build there, then I'm out whatever I paid for the park.
You're out.
So you need to...
You also don't even have a road to get to it.
Yeah.
Because there's no roads, and we're not going to approve a road. Because, so, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no sewer and water to there. They wouldn't issue a septic, even if it probably wasn't a wetland. So it's...
And that's why I'm
those lands have no value to speak of. But someone may build a house back at the line, and then that's their open space.
Yeah.
That's kind of...
I go along with you, Gloria, that season. Seems like we're...
That's like...
We're pulling the wool over somebody's eyes.
Well, no, but what do you want to zone then? We can't...
I understand.
Well, no, but if you say we are, what do you want it zoned? We can't zone it nothing. That's not an option. So you got to tell them it's commercial. It's a park, and if you try to send out a notice to someone says, you're telling me my land is a park? Talk about pulling the wool over them. You've taken, you know, no one's going to build down in there without checking. And if they do, that happens every day. I mean, people, if
you have a pen, I want to write my resignation.
Well, I think you have a bigger fight if you try to zone it.
I understand what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because even
well, see, that made sense when we zoned it open space because that's what it was. It was not buildable, and we knew that.
Yeah.
So,
and you're trying to square things up. And
the point is, it's buyer beware.
Well,
it always
that
is. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's you know.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, unless you got cash, a title company, I mean, you couldn't. The bank wouldn't finance you for a house and that. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
they would be.
Well, I can remember back in the 60s, I bought a 1 acre lot down out here next to the river down there. They were only $150 or $160, something like that. And I had, I think it was 90 days to rescind my offer, so I came up from California where I was living, went out and looked at it, and saw it was right out in the middle of the creek, so I went and got my money back.
Yeah. Well, it's like Christmas Valley. I mean, look at all the property was sold out in Christmas Valley because they thought it was in Oregon and it had trees. I mean, they call it Christmas Valley, you know?
Yeah.
It's good marketing, yeah. Yeah. So are there any other questions or comments at this point? Any questions on the process? Comments on anything you see on the maps? Like I said, please email me or Corey or Rick when questions come up, because as this process gets moving, it's going to be it's going to be fluid, but it's going to be moving forward so we can keep our deadline and keep things.
So we're going to have public meetings for too long.
We will. Yeah, we will have. We'll have a public workshop, like I said, an open house format. I'm hoping in March sometime, and would like to have this decided upon April, end of April.
Where are we going to advertise this?
Well, first we will have to notice all the property owners.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah,
they all have to be noted, absolutely. And they will be sent the maps as well as a memo describing the changes and why it's occurring. And that notice will include all the specific dates. So that's another reason it's important for us to stay on schedule, because they'll be noticed with all the public hearing dates, and we don't want to have to send out a follow-up. Sorry, we've had to delay it or anything like that. It'll also be noticed in the newspaper or the website. Do you have a public posting area? Did you see we did? So as noticed as much as we can, everywhere we can. This is it's a big change, and we do not want any residents taken by surprise.
Real estate companies should be notified too, shouldn't they?
Oh yeah, I would think.
Yeah, we can email them with a notice, put a flyer up, We don't really have a newspaper anymore, so it's more difficult. Yeah. But we have our Wise Buys if we're going to run something.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me know. Yeah, let's keep talking about it. And
on one thing, I was just, when I look at these, because it's confusing, I'm trying to watch it, because people don't deal in it, and maybe it's okay to have the technical term, because I get confused. On one hand, we tell people this is existing zoning, then it goes to a comp plan. Mm-hmm. And I think that for the lay people, this is current zoning, proposed zoning.
Now,
and it could be called a comp plan, but they don't care about those terms.
Right.
They need to be able to say that this is what I am zoned, this is what you want to zone me.
Yep.
And so I can't keep words.
We'll fix that.
It'll help Corey and I.
Well, I hope that by the time we're done, you'll have one map. With the exception of a couple of these parcels, which you'll just know are different in the comp plan. Okay. Well, that's it on that one. Do you want me to move into the storage container discussion for you?
Yeah. If anybody have any more questions about this?
No.
Okay. All right. Take it away.
All right. For the next Planning Commission meeting, we hope to have a list of text amendments to the zoning ordinance. Some of them, again, are going to be housekeeping, titles, getting table contents and headers to match up, getting some of the section numbers corrected, but also inserting the reference to the TSP to make sure that it's in there and very clear to developers when they come with the site plan that they need to comply with the requirements of the TSP for streetscape and sidewalks and right-of-way widths and all those things. It'll also have some firming up of the sewer and water requirements, again, just to remind the developers that they need to comply with the city codes for that. Another issue that we would like to have in there is addressing the use of these metal conex storage containers around town. Some cities are banning them because they become a nuisance. They start cluttering lots. So we've discussed banning them in all zones except for industrial. I know we talked about this a little bit on the phone last week. And possibly with phasing out of some of the old ones if felt appropriate by the commission and council. Just to get rid of some of those nuisance eyesores that are inexpensive to purchase for somebody to dump on their lot and fill with whatever they need to. And just wanted to hear from you all, your thoughts on that. Again, industrial zone, probably a different picture, and we think we can allow them there, but to have them visible in your commercial districts, where you're having residents and visitors alike, and it's your representation of your city, as well as your residential areas where the neighborhoods could get cluttered with them. I feel like it would be a prudent time to discuss.
My comment on that was just like we put an ordinance about if you had cars and, you know, junk, that you would have to put a fence up. It couldn't be seen by the public. And possibly that's a way that we might go with that, rather than banning them all together, as long as they're not seen. By, you know, this is just something we just need to think about. Do we want to do that, or do we want to make it so that, you know, it still is the lots attractive? And then that's the main thing. And
the one thing that comes to mind is the big can dumpster over here for the Park and Rec Department.
Yeah.
That's a big metal container, and
yep,
it's out where everybody can see
it. It's not, I mean, it's a
dumpster.
It's not a dumpster. I mean, it's more of a dumpster. It's not.
Yeah.
So these things are considered.
No, what we're talking is they're.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But there's a definition of those. So mm-hmm. that just a. And again, you can always. It. Someone's putting something in for. It's where they're doing cans. It's part of something. You know, we're talking about storage containers that are semis. They're 45 feet long.
And long term.
Yeah.
You know,
they're
right. If they're used for moving, or you know, sometimes a moving company will drop off the
right.
other trailer, and you know, you've got certain,
like
certain
shipping
days.
Shipping containers.
That's what they are.
Right. Exactly.
What they're trucks. They're
yeah.
they're semi. They go on trains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, what you know, it's one of the, I kind of suggested. She told me, Gloria, your concerns, and they're good. When I've been through this debate, other places, but most or many cities have begun to ban these because they get out of control, and. You know, if one moves up next door to you and they plop it 2 feet from your fence, number one, your fence will never be high enough to block it because they're
right.
tall. Then they stack two of them and they just start putting junk in them, and pretty soon they grow pot in them and they do all kinds of things in them. They're rusty and they will just sit there and rust. And if you think about it, they are an industrial shipping container. They're meant to go on ships from China to the U.S., then put on a train. What are they doing in your backyard? You can go get a Sears shed, you can go get some with a V roof, you can do all kinds of things, and they do in fact clutter up. We had an example, the what's the one that wanted to stick the one down there, they're not now, the Oddfellow.
The Grange.
Oh,
the Grange. Well, they were looking to do a storage. They wanted to drop one of those there for their storage, and we said no. When we use that because it was a historical building and all these other things. But they are really a nuisance and they're cheap. And so one of the things is if you adopted it, we could also, I think you could do like a 5-year phase out. Anyone that has one, you know, you put 5 years sometimes. You know, it's again, you're trying to move forward. Does it mean that someone already has one and you're going to be mad because your neighbor has one? We can't solve every issue, but you just want to, I think that it's, they're pretty ugly. And pretty soon your supermarkets, rather than enlarging, they pretty soon they're stacking five of them. Just because it's cheap.
So that's not in a residential zone.
No, an industrial only is where we would say. They're an industrial use.
Oh, okay.
A mill.
So they can do it.
Allowed
yes.
in the industrial zone.
Okay.
They're an industrial use. They come in on trains and semis. And that's where semis and trains are, is in industrial parks.
Right.
They're not down in Crescent Creek, and they're not down in on Schedule Road. You know. In that, you can have storage and you can have sheds, and there's a million different choices, wood, metal, and everything else. We're just saying shipping containers that are designed to be on trains and cargo ships need to stay on trains and cargo ships.
And what's our ruling now about, I don't remember, about sheds? Do we have to get a permit?
It's depending on the size.
200 square feet.
County. Yeah.
County.
200 first square feet and under, they're exempt.
Okay.
And most of your the sheds you see people buy are
yeah,
they're kind of about that size. Well, that's in fact they make them under 99 square feet so that they avoid the law.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they do.
So right now they're just bringing them in. They don't have to have a permit or anything.
No. No, that's we're not trying to again. We're not trying to control every little thing that goes on. It's just kind of going from this to this.
They have trouble putting them in Crescent Creek.
But you're right.
Little sheds because of the homeowners association.
Right, and then a lot of subdivisions have HOAs. That where you're going to see the Crescent or most of these subdivisions, the new ones are too small a lot. You could never get one on it. But I'll tell you where it is Cagle's got the Baker. Anytime you got acre lots, you can go throw on, you know, and in the commercials. I see a couple of them out by Wiki up back behind. You know, it's like them that asked us. It's kind of the commercial zone you start to see them cluttering.
Tire shops.
But that won't be allowed in the future.
Well, that's the proposal that, unless you guys want to allow them. And we talked about trying to shield. Then you open up a whole new enforcement thing. What's a shield? Is it a tree? Is it a fence? Does it have to be above the height? Well, then now you got a fence sticking up.
Right. I did have an inquiry today from somebody on a commercial lot wanting to bring in 50 of them and stack them 2-3 high and rent them out. So it's just an example. Obviously, I mean, told them that was not an option for that lot, but it just gives an example. Like Rick said, they're inexpensive to buy. Buy 50 of them, stack them up, lease them out, use them on site for storage.
And they can take vacant lots and start sticking them on there because we're allowing them. They're not a structure. They don't have to have a permit. They have no power in them. So, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I wouldn't want one next to me. It was bad enough when I had those two horses on one side and the eight goats on the other side. I don't need any containers stacked here. Let me ask you a couple of questions that are a little off. Stop. This. The rock yard there at the corner, across the street from McDonald's, the ODOT.
Oh, the one we just talked about.
Who owns the property?
BLM.
Okay. If they move, are we going to try and get the property from BLM? That'll take another 15 years.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we may do a trade or do something.
Yeah, okay. Huntington Road at the far north end of Huntington Road, just before you get to the city limits.
I know where you're talking.
That guy got all that crap cleaned up.
That's one that they're working on.
I spoke with John Griley, who's a Deschutes County Code Enforcement Officer, and he was going to be issuing a citation. He told me that last month, I believe, so I can follow up with him.
You haven't done any yet?
Well, I haven't.
He'll send you a copy.
I don't know where that guy's finding all that crap, but it's just piling up like crazy.
Yeah, you know, he's one that we worked with. I met with him out there.
He was very nice about everything, too.
Well, he said so, but I never did buy that, and the city of Bend told me that don't believe it. Yeah. And he's dumb like a fox, and he knows what he's doing. Yeah. And so we turned that one over to the county. The family that owns the property, which I have is the guy that is doing all of that, is buying the property supposedly from an elderly lady with a contract. If you go to the county records, it's got this grandma that owns it in the valley. She doesn't respond to anything. And he says, well, I own it because I'm buying it. And I say, well, there's no records of you buying it. And so we send stuff to her. Well, then I researched her. Her and her husband were, they've actually went to court, federal, or not, I'm going to say federal court. The husband, I believe, sat in jail over this type of stuff. They will not follow it. They say it's their constitutional right to do this. And so it's quite a family. And so, you know, we decided then we would just turn that right over to the county because we keep them in one or two at a time. And so this was one we gave them.
Well, have you ever driven down his driveway to his house?
That guy's house?
Yeah.
No.
That's a real experience. He's got about a dozen little homemade sheds scattered all over the place that he stores stuff in.
You're talking, it's this guy along the road, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he told me he would move his tires. He had 40 tires there and all that, and he's never done anything. He had his tent. He puts his tent up in the summer, and he told me him and his son, it was like them coming camping from Bend, and they have an outhouse. We also then went through the outhouse, that you cannot have a permanent outhouse. So that will be like the wood carver. You know, that one will take time. I mean, it could take another year. And yeah, it's just that's people that are going to push back, it's a process.
Yeah.
One question.
Last question. What about Mike's place? Mike's Shoe on Huntington. Is there anything? Now, look, don't misunderstand me. I know Mike real well. I like him. He's a nice guy. He does terrific work, but he's so damn bullheaded he can't get through that door. So, and he's got all that broken down stuff piled right up alongside the street. Is there anything that's going to happen there at all?
Well, that's a difficult one. And that'll take staff time to figure out a strategy. And you would have to be in for Pretty long process. Mm-hmm. Could be an expensive process. Mm-hmm. So you got to make sure everything's kind of right before you start that, because of the, you know, the nature of it, grandfathering.
You've been there forever.
Yeah. And so those are just tough when you run a business, and now he's in that pink.
Yeah.
So is that mixed use, obviously what he's doing. I have met Mike on it. Had a fairly, you know, friendly discussion. But he fundamentally, and you can ask him, so I don't want to speak for him, but just fundamentally, he doesn't believe that we have the right to request that he does it. He's been there. He doesn't agree with any of it. So that's going to be a challenging one.
Why don't you just offer to buy him a fence?
Yeah, it's more than a fence. It's got a lot of stuff. But he's also in the industrial park with stuff.
Oh, you ever seen his lot in the industrial park?
Yes, oh yeah.
Oh, what a mess.
So
he's got stuff there dated back to 1905.
Yeah, those are...
I know.
Those are tough. But the day will come, and the county evidently had done some work with him back, obviously before the city, so 10 plus years ago. Not sure where that ended up. He kind of told me some stories on that. I don't know. That's not one we've taken on, but we kind of prioritize. Remember, we tried to do camp trailers, things that were sewage septic camp trailers. I've never had a complaint from anyone on history. See, the ones over in Kegel, they're all as a neighbor saying about that or something. We've never had a neighbor. In other words, you're a mile away.
There's one there that complains.
Well, I've never had a written...
He won't.
Well, see, we've never had anyone, I think, say, why are you allowing this?
Yeah.
So...
Well, I want to get back to the storage units. If we do that, we would have like a timeline or something that would allow it for like 30 days, or how would that read, or how would that?
Do you mean for the phase out of the existing ones?
No, I'm talking about if somebody needs to use one for
temporary storage use. Yeah, I would think 30 days probably is appropriate.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the other ones that will just be a basic...
Do you guys think we should give them time to phase them out several years?
Oh, yeah, I think so, because the ones that have them...
And again, that's not going to become the top of our enforcement list five years from now, but, you know, at least gives you... it tells people... I'm really more the commercial that, hey, you know, I use it to store stuff for my business, and I'm not going to be, you know, I don't have 60 days. But when they start planning for expansions and things, they need to... start thinking.
I just thought of something out on Dorrance Meadow Road where I've got a place. Actually, it's in the county, and we cannot build a building that casts a shadow on the adjoining property. Do we have any kind of rules and regulations like that in the city?
I have not found anything in the city's code. The county code does have a shadow ordinance, but the city code I haven't found it anywhere.
Because we had to move where we were going to put a shed, because the shadow of the height that we wanted would be 1 foot on the other guy's property.
Right.
And they made us move it so that it missed that 1 foot.
Well, that would be a tough one.
Or they wouldn't. I didn't say they... Yeah, it's in they just wouldn't approve it unless we...
Right. It is in place to protect the solar rights and the light rights. It's it's an old planning regulation from years ago when cities were building so tight together. There was no ventilation, no sunlight. But I've searched the city code for it and have not found it in the city's code.
No, I think if that had been brought up in a meeting, we would have said, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Enough!
I think you would have said that.
Well, okay. We thought that too.
Was there any other major ones in there that they might be interested in?
The only thing that we talked about a little bit before the meeting was just this discussion about St. Charles and the county and the lot that they're discussing. right now. We don't have a formal application on this, but they're in the works and they're developing it, and I'm meeting with them tomorrow, but it's this lot here. Zoned public facilities right now, looking to put a clinic on it, outpatient clinic, so not a hospital, not overnight stay, no beds.
That's that big empty lot on the corner.
Yeah.
It's by Memorial Way.
It's one lot over Memorial. Entrance to Crescent Creek. Yeah. Dawn can walk to it.
It's my understanding that that is owned by the county right now, and they're talking about St. Charles going on part of it and retaining half of it.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. So St. Charles will lead the effort, and that is part of the agreement that I understand. They would submit the partition application. The process that we need to follow for that is a two-part process. We need to rezone the comp plan, change the comp plan map to commercial mixed use. That gives a lot of flexibility for the remaining portion of the lot. And then include that in the rezone process that we're talking about here. So it's a two-step process. And we could do it in the same meeting. We would just have the vote on the comp plan map change first, followed by the legislative rezone of all the parcels as a whole. So starting that discussion with them now, they're starting a TIA, a traffic impact analysis. They've got a contractor on board for that, because that is part of the requirement for us to include in our documentation to address all the Oregon State planning goals for the transportation planning rule, TPR, to show what impacts that might have and what infrastructure improvements would need to be done as a result. So that falls in line with the schedule we have for this rezone that we've talked about tonight. Just wanted to bring it to your attention that will be a discussion item at the public workshop, probably as well. I'd like to have it all at once, so we're looking at the full picture. So hopefully by early March we'll have the preliminary documents we need for that, and we can open up to the public workshop at that time and adopt that in April as well. Do you guys have any questions on that one? I know that one's been in the news a little bit, but with not a lot of detail.
A lot of people have asked where it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know.
I think that is a big question. I don't know if that's been publicly.
I think the county commission has pretty well said that they're okay with it. So I mean, they have to vote on it. So whenever you get into, like I've told you before people apply, our general rule is from a pure legal standpoint too, but prior to someone applying, technically it's not a public record. And so these meetings are taped. And if you sit here and just start blabbing about things, you have to be very careful. Once they apply, actually the Ben Bulletin could ask a public records request and get the application. So we're much more free once there's an application, because they're negotiating on a purchase price. Mm-hmm. And you can't have all the nosy people running around town. They maybe have two places they're looking at. One, they are working hard, but this is their backup. And it throws things off. So you just got to be careful. So, but that one's, St. Charles is a private company, but they're as close as almost a public entity as you can get. They're a nonprofit. They're so huge. They're such an important part of your community.
Has there been more negotiation on the property across the street from the senior center? The low-income housing that's owned by
I don't know about that.
No, the one that they rezoned?
Mm-hmm.
We did the... Yeah. No, that's just sitting. I just talked to someone the other day that said that they said the low income housing program grant cycle had closed, and so they got to wait till next year if that's the route they're going. So that there's nothing. They have an approval. They got 2 years.
2 years usually, yeah.
2 years, and they can probably get a year extension. But so they got 2 years. That clock is technically ticking for that apartment complex that we approved for Wendy. So they got probably 20 months left.
Should have money enough to pay for it now that they sold.
If they choose to build it, you're right. So no, nothing's happening.
And what about Habitat for Humanity? Have they come back? Because everyone should know that they are extremely unhappy with this group. They've talked to a lot of people that I know of saying that we were totally unfair to them and trying to run them out of town because of the plan that they had there that we didn't approve.
Yeah, where it's in their court right now to come back to us with another.
But they haven't yet.
But they haven't at this point. My understanding, they had a board meeting yesterday. I don't know what the result was of that board meeting.
Why don't you just tell them what some of the things that, what you were kind of asking for, maybe that. How many units or the less units or
what our stance
is.
The discussion that I had with them is they wanted some sort of feedback as far as what could we get? What's the maximum of lots we could get? And my response was, you know, we need to see what that is drawn out and how much space there is between you know driveways for parking and what is appropriate. You know, their question was, can we get away with 12 lots instead of 13? So, you know, my gut feeling, just gut feeling, is probably not. It probably doesn't quite get us there to the amount of parking that we need. So what about 11? Again, maybe. You know, maybe we're getting in that ballpark because your lot widths are a little bit wider. It's particularly on that east side was the biggest concern. If you get rid of two lots, you can really spread out, in their case, a little more than 50 feet among the remaining lots, and have some more space maybe between some of the homes to access the backyard, more, like I said, more parking between driveways. But I can't give them any sort of absolutes because we haven't seen a true site plan that shows where all the utilities are. And
Sidewalks.
I mentioned that we need sidewalks on all sides of the street. We need more stormwater retention areas. It's my understanding that there was agreement with the county that stormwater retention areas would be constructed when the first houses were put in, and my understanding from the county is that those haven't been completed. So there are some concerns, I think, remaining concerns from the county on that. So I haven't received anything back. I think they're really hoping that we will change our mind on the 13. They were concerned that we were reacting adversely because of high density, that we're adverse to high density. And I tried to explain that high density is not necessarily the issue. It's the high density in this location that is very isolated and rural. It's not in an urban setting where people might be walking to transit or biking to work or to school, walking to school. They will have cars here, and they will have several cars here. So it's a very different setting. It's not that we're opposed to the high density. It's the unintended consequences that occur because of it. So I don't know where they're going to go on that, if they're going to come back again and push hard on their proposal. The city engineer, I've talked to him as well. He agrees with the planning decision on that. He was very concerned about the guest parking that was shown on that sketch. It doesn't fit any code. It was just perpendicular parking to the road. And you don't want to have perpendicular parking backing out. Realize you have that in driveways, but that's expected on driveways when you're driving down a road. You don't expect to see a car backing out of a perpendicular lot with five places lined up. He had concerns about one of the lots on the north side that had a very narrow driveway that I pointed out to them in the beginning. By code, you have to separate your water and sewer by at least 10 feet horizontally. He wasn't convinced that there was 10 feet there. There might have been 12, but it wasn't drawn real clear. The lines were real thick, so you couldn't really scale it off while the soup was there. So there were definitely concerns, and it wasn't just planning concerns. I know that the county engineer has also spoken up and said no way would they have allowed that many lots in there. So unfortunately an awkward discussion, and they're not happy. But I don't know if that means the whole or just a few of my – I don't know where the whole board stands on it. I haven't heard at this point.
You know, it occurred to me, and I said something that I – what if those houses were set at an angle instead of – you know, one way or the other. I mean, we don't do that in any of...
What do you mean set at an angle?
I mean just tilt it a little bit.
Or yeah. You mean back to back?
No, but like this way to where you would have the space to go in and out rather than having it, you know... I
know if you're just talking angle, you gain a longer driveway, but then others are going to be shorter because you're...
Well, I was thinking about access to your backyard. That was your big concern.
Yeah.
If you did that, I don't think you couldn't fit 13 units.
Oh, I don't think you could fit 13.
And that's really the sticking point with them from what city staff is starting to glean from this conversation. Is that it's...
Well, especially that one that was so small.
How many total do they want in there?
A total of 13.
And how many...
On the east side, that was, I think, 9. Versus the five that are one there. So it's almost doubling from where it's at now.
What's it supposed to have?
Five. That's what it's platted at right now.
Oh, no.
Just
the east side.
Oh, well, I just told the cul-de-sac. Side. What's that cul-de-sac supposed to have?
Oh, the total platted on the cul-de-sac, I'd have to pull up the existing plat. I'm not sure. I was just looking at their new.
11.
Yeah. 11 total.
Total. But they would want, and they were going to do two duplexes on the.
Well, count that in. So is that what is the total units with the houses that they have now? How many were they adding units?
How many would they be adding?
Yes.
In their proposal,
three.
Four on the east side, additional, and a couple on the
not
south
additional,
side.
Not additional. Just I was wanting. I was trying to get a total of what their. I mean, proposal.
Yeah, I'd have to pull it.
Well, we need to know. It's 9 plus 4. They're adding 13. There's already 3, so they're going to have 16. I'm trying to get a total as to what. Maybe it goes back to what I was saying today that it is approved subdivision as is 50-foot wide lots.
Right.
And that's what it is approved for. And I think they're not doubling though. It's a little less, but I just was wondering what that number was.
They're 25-foot lots. They're proposing on the 28-foot
on the east side. Mm-hmm.
That three, the houses that are existed right now, are they duplexes?
No, they're single family on 50-foot lot.
They're single family, so if they made these duplexes, they would be doubling.
But they're not really duplexes, they're in row houses. Remember, they're all connected.
Yeah, they wanted to put 17 living units in that cul-de-sac, total.
Okay, 17. Maybe that's.
They've got three now.
From 11 to 17, maybe?
Yeah,
sounds about right. Yeah, and it, and it's cul-de-sacs are tighter anyway. The nature of,
well, and the snow plows and all this stuff.
Yeah,
everything that from my understanding and I left early was pretty thoroughly discussed at Planning Commission meeting last month. Yeah. Correct?
Yeah, sure. I think
okay, I just wanted to get that reaffirmed.
Yeah, it was my understanding that they, they understood they were going to have to come back to us. So.
Yeah.
It's in their court right now, and we'll see. The one thing that they have requested from us is a very specific list of code requirements that they are not meeting with their proposal because they feel like there are a lot of other uses that maybe they could put in there that for some reason wouldn't be as good as what they're proposing now, which I disagree. Whatever they propose will have to go through a site plan review.
Right.
If they decided to do commercial there, which it's a residential neighborhood, they're probably not. But for example, if they decide to do that, they still have to go through that site plan review, and we review it for all the same issues. So we'll see where that discussion goes, but it's in their court right now.
Okay, is there anything else?
We ever going to get ODOT to change that sign down there, Burgess 97?
Well, they're all coming down and changing.
Yeah.
So
good.
They're building, because you're building a new highway. So, I don't know how they're signing it. That corner won't exist.
I know, but that sign says Lapine 2 miles.
Well, but that sign's coming down because that corner's going away.
Good.
So, I have no idea.
Good.
Done?
It's still 2 miles.
Because there's a council that bitches to me about it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't let other people complain about that.
Yeah. Okay, how about you, Norm?
Yeah, I'm good. I think one question, comment on storage containers, I think they should be picked up.
Get rid of all of
them. Yeah, they're not sightly, and I've had to remove some of them, and they're a pain in the butt, too. They do rust apart in 3 to 5 years, gone.
Mm-hmm. One of the main pushes to make Lapine the city was the promise.
Yeah, to clean
the promise. Cleaned up the residential neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
ever,
mm-hmm.
and that's not cleaning them up,
yeah.
even though storage containers
sit around.
Yeah, we go in cycles. We have so many of the grants and all these different things we're doing, and then code enforcement falls to the, so we try to send out letters. Probably we did some here a month ago. And
now that the snow's melted off, I think it's kind of via snow. It kind of.
And I am on a different committee or a different thing. The economic vitality and the put the shine on Lapine. And I will say, in our last discussions, we were talking about other things we can do to help the city and work together to try to. To clean up in the residential areas also.
Well,
so.
Today we were out looking at a place, just giving an example, a place that wants to expand a use, a business. But we won't say just because it's public records. I think it's just best if you don't. Don't matter. It was out toward Wikia. But so they want to expand a use. add another business to the businesses that they have. And so, you know, it's just interesting the things you find. So Corey was out doing some research, and the way it came in, this is why you want a business license. They had to get a business license because they need a state license to do what they want to do. But they couldn't get that without a business license. So you didn't get to sneak it in. So we looked at it and said, now wait, what's going on this property? So you start to investigate, and you find there's already two businesses on the property that are freestanding separate buildings, and there is a house on the property. So you have three things, a house and two businesses, all with bathrooms and everything. They are not hooked to water. The water line is literally in front of them with a meter to it. Mm-hmm. So they're not using our water. Then, of course, you know, under our sewer thing now, you pay sewer based on your water usage. Well, they're paying the minimum sewer bill with two businesses and a house. They're paying the minimum as if you're less than a single family dwelling, because everyone pays more than the minimum, basically, because in the summer you use more water, different things. But so we have no way to know what we should charge them for sewer because they're not hooked to our water. Mm-hmm. And now they want to add a fourth business. No ADA parking anywhere. There's 20 to 30 vehicles on the property already, in different states of drivability. Lots of tires, probably 40 tires, cardboard boxes, two mobile motor homes that are, call it, non-being used. They're just kind of there, but I don't even know if they're usable. In a long list. So I sat with them and talked to them, and I talked to all of them, and I just said, you know, we just aren't going to approve an expansion. You're non-conforming now. Got to get your signs in order, which they may be okay. You got to get hooked to water. And then we have to become compliant with all the stuff. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to. And, you know, it was actually the people said that they were wanting to maybe purchase the property and they would do a bunch of cleanup. They said they didn't want to because they didn't own it. But, you know, it just shows you that was today. I was out there for an hour. And Corey had been out and done some stuff a couple weeks ago. So we aren't signing the business license. And so the person is not happy because we won't let it. So that's why when you hear things out there, you're going to. There is no way to clean the town up to try to make that cul-de-sac functional for the future, for today, and for the families, kids, and mothers that are going to move in there. And I appreciate you guys standing up like you do, and Tammy and Corey and everyone, because you do get beat up. And so, you know, if you're thin-skinned and you worry about this isn't going to work. Because people always push back. And as I told the gentleman standing out there, I said, you know, I own businesses and things. And I said, I went like this. I said, this is a mess.
Where is this you're talking about?
I'm not going to say. Because it's just. But, you know, it's not fun. They're good people and they do want to clean it up. But you kind of have to tell them you got to clean it up. You've got to set the bar high, and we're not going to let you have another business to add to it. You know, and so that stuff kind of goes on all the time. I mean, we work at.
Well, and like I said, our group is, you know, trying to encourage business owners to do this, and in some cases even help out. We have done that, and we pulled weeds last year, but this year we may expand and go further and help with some other things too.
Help with the senior center.
Yeah. But it's the main thing is having, you know, getting people to take pride in, you know, and realize that other people, you know, we're all in this together, and we do, you know, we want it to look nice.
The bulk of people, they do want everything to clean up. But one of the things you find, I don't know if you find it, Tammy, with one thing about land use planning, some old cranky Republican said to me, and I'm a Republican, so I can say old cranky. And I'm getting old, so I can say
Yeah, I agree with that.
But, you know, you see, you talk about, you know, the property rights, you know, everyone should have property rights. And I, you know, they say, yeah, I should. My neighbor, oh, they need rules. My neighbor needs rules because I don't want them to do this, that. But I, by God, ought to be able to do what I want. And that's really about is how deep. So when you go out, everyone, even in your shine group, people will all agree that we need to clean up Lapine.
Your place.
Yeah. We need your place, your place, your place.
Yeah.
But not my
that's
place.
Human
but
nature.
It is human nature. Yeah. And so that's always the fun part.
Well,
you know,
and it, you know, along with responsibility, and we are trying to get business owners to make a commitment too when we do help them out. So,
isn't there some way that we can compel people to, if they want sewer, to sign up for water?
Yes. Well, I think the ordinance pretty well does it. We're just doing a double back on that to make sure. So, yes.
Yeah, that would just be to me automatic. You sign up for both.
There's some people that, you know, when you get into water, there's like, literally like, well, if someone wants to use a well and drink from it, can you make me not drink from it? Maybe you can make me pay a $30 water bill, but if I choose to drink water from a well,
yeah,
can you stop me now? Because we're charging sewer. You're getting when you go down the drain, we're taking care of it. The one thing you could do is you could say, well, then we're going to assume a high usage of water. Since we have no means to tell otherwise, you're going to go up and say, you know, we're going to bill you at 75% of, you know, the higher of than average. We're not going to let you get the minimum.
Yeah.
So there are things you could do, but it's we have not done that. We have about 20, I think you said 20, 22, 20.
Like that. Not very many
that have sewer
and no water.
And no water.
Well, they like their own water better.
Well,
you might be putting stuff in the water.
They say they don't want to pay for it.
You hear that a lot. Well,
yeah.
I don't want the chemicals. No, in the
I don't want those chemicals.
And I go,
and yet that Lapine actually has some of the best drinking water around. So.
And that's come up with Kegel already.
Yeah,
when we've had calls. Corey had a guy that was just saying, well, I don't want to, I'll just let it go by. I don't want to hook up, and I'm not using it.
Yes.
But that won't work because you've got to charge everyone to keep the cost.
Right.
Exactly.
That there's no way to do that. So.
Well, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank
Here comes Ashley to get her
what
tape.
What about opposed? I did.